The Money Show.
Personal finance.
For many, it's your favorite time of year. It's where we get to invite Super Saver Julia to join us. And she began her investment journey in 2008, just before the global financial crisis. She met Warren Ingram through her aunt. And Warren said to her, "Are you going to take this seriously?" She said, "Yes, sir. Three bags full, sir." Which I don't know if she called him sir. But she ended up investing a third of everything she earned, roughly speaking, of course, paying about a third in tax and spending a third. And lots of overseas travel and driving a modest car and living in fairly modest accommodation. Close to work. She structured her life around her ability to start investing earlier. When she started, she was earning about 300,000 rand a year, and in corporate, her earnings ultimately peaked at over 1 million rand a year, and she stuck to the principles all the way through. On the advice of Warren, she put money into lower cost index funds, and they did well for her over time. She got to a point 2 years ago, though, I think it was 2 years ago, when she stopped adding to the investment pot. She had kids, car, house, all of those sorts of things. But she did get a head start from the tender age of 27, and she is with us this evening. You started your own business, didn't you, in the past year? Talk about timing.
Indeed, Bruce. Hi. Nice to be back on the show for the eighth year running. It's been
quite some time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I still don't know who you are. Julia, by the way, is not her real name. She's been operating under nom de plume. And because I can't keep a secret, I've insisted on not knowing. I don't want to know anything about her other than what she does with money. But yeah, sorry, 8 years in a row. And it's been a huge journey, hey?
It has. And as you say, I gave up my corporate job just over 6 months ago. I think it was around September last year to start a business. So that was really bad timing, if only I'd had a crystal ball to be able to see the future. But I still don't look back. I still feel very positive about the future, and I don't think I will need to go back to corporate. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I saved so hard and to be financially free, so that I can do what I want with my life, so that my time is my own. So yeah, even though it has been a pretty harrowing and big test of resilience the last few months, I'm still happy with my decision.
It's not that you started a business making coronavirus drugs or a business that no. You know, grows food or something that was allowed to operate through lockdown. You went into the tourism industry, broadly speaking, and tourism is
indeed
the hardest hit sector in the world and will be the last sector to recover when it does. It will, but it will be the last sector to recover. I mean, what? A double whammy in terms of the timing and then the sector that you chose to go into. Terribly romantic, but not very practical right now, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's been brutal, I think, for everyone in the industry. I'm lucky in the sense that I didn't have a lot of capital invested in the business. So I didn't have a lot of fixed costs. I think my colleagues in the industry who have a lot of fixed costs are really suffering right now, large numbers of staff or big lodges or conservation areas. So, my feelings are with everyone in tourism right now.
Absolutely. So is the business operating, or have you put it on ice and just enjoying your kids and having a life and pretending like nothing is going on at the moment?
No, it's operating. It's operating. I've got clients that I've had to move, and hopefully from September on, I won't have to move anyone else. But I've been working, moving clients to next year and doing other small things. I had an amazing start actually to the business. It was incredible, and I felt extremely fortunate. So I was starting on a high at the beginning of 2020, and I had a lot of clients, so now it's just on ice. But it's fine. Bruce, I've been able to do other things, like spend a lot of time with family, which has been good, to take a real break, which I didn't, because I went straight from corporate into like quite a hectic period in my business. So yeah, I'm trying to stay positive here.
Absolutely, as you must. Now, again, I summarized your investment journey at the beginning, and it was, 2 years ago when you came and you said, actually, since 2017, you'd made no more investments in the JSE. You'd had, you'd put lots of money into Satrix, into the Finney, into the Raffi, into the Satrix 40, and a couple of other index products. You'd done that. And you were going to simply leave the money there while focusing your attentions elsewhere. Did you stay true to that?
Yes. So I haven't really touched my JSE account much. That's just grown during the beginning part of this year. It took a bit of a dip, but it's pretty much back to where it was. But yes, we've paid off our house, and we've changed our strategy a bit in taking quite a bit of money offshore. And then we also wanted to keep some in cash. Now, being two business owners in the family, it's quite difficult to manage cash flow. So we also have a few months a year of expenses saved up. Our money's both in the house, the JSE, and a very large emergency fund.
You only bought that house just a couple of years ago, though.
Yeah, it was quite cool to pay it off. It was quite a good feeling. Yeah, when did we buy it? It was 5 years ago. Yeah, so actually, when you say it like that, it seems to have gone by in a flash. But it's a nice feeling to have it paid off.
You didn't go buy a small house in Stilfontein, which is a lovely part, a lovely little old mining town where property prices are very reasonable. You bought one in Sandton. You paid Sandton prices for Sandton property, and I think you did some renovation at the same time as buying a family car, at the same time as having two children in fairly quick succession. How the hell have you done that?
I actually don't know, Bruce. I think it's, we just live below our means, I think. I think if you look at the total income that we brought in, we were able to really save quite a lot, quite a large percentage of it. Because, so my husband and I are married out of community of property with accrual. So we just pool our resources. So it's not like my income and his are separate and our expenses are separate. So when he's had a good year at work, when I had a good bonus, we just saved that. So that's really what helped.
You used to have a travel bug, and you do still have a travel bug, but have you done the sort of overseas travel? I mean, up until 6 months ago, of course, but the sort of overseas travel that you were doing when you were single and when you met your husband?
Not as much, not as it was before, Bruce. It's mainly traveling now to see our families who live overseas. So it's most of our travel is seeing family and friends. But for my new job, I get to travel a bit. I was recently at the beginning of the year, I was in Chicago at a show for work. But yeah, it's the family travel is more just to see relatives overseas.
Now, you went and you invested, and you invested on the JSE very actively, and you got to a point in 2017 where you decided to stop investing on the JSE, and you left that amount of money there. All in all, you put in, I think, about 2.1 million rand onto the JSE over a period of about 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. And that had grown by 2018 to 4.77, and this time last year, it had grown to 5 million rand. You'd done nothing. I think you'd spent half an hour on the internet tinkering and you'd earned yourself 300,000 rand doing absolutely nothing. That was this time last year. But now we're in junk status as a country. The coronavirus has taken its toll. The JSE had that huge dip in March, April. Are you back to where you were this time last year? Because I can't imagine, even as smart as you've been, that you've seen too much growth.
No, indeed. So the value of the portfolio is exactly as it was last year, just a tiny little bit over 5 million. And if you'd asked me that, three months ago or so, it took a big dip down to... I didn't keep a constant check on it, 30%. But it was around about... 4.2 or 4.3 when I checked at one stage. I don't know if that was the lowest, but Yeah, so if you'd asked, if we'd had the show back then, it would have been a different story.
How did that make you feel? I mean, you're tough, you're resilient. You know that markets go down and often stay down and then go up a bit and sometimes go down again. How did you feel as somebody who's fairly seasoned in this? You were starting out at the beginning of the last financial crisis, which gave you a bit of a fright, and you didn't add as much as you wish you had to markets at that time. Were you tempted at all to start buying into the JSE, or were you buying elsewhere?
So we were buying elsewhere, and I definitely say experience counts for a lot there, because I'd seen the crash in 2008 and then the recovery after that. I wasn't worried about it. I must say I'm surprised at how quickly the markets came back, because it took longer in 2008. But our plan was, we'd taken some money at the beginning of the year offshore, and our plan was to invest that over 6 months or something like that. And we just continued with that. So we managed to take advantage of the crash. And our portfolio overseas is looking also much healthier now.
And you've got the hard currency elements in there. I mean, just in terms of overseas investment, broadly speaking, what have you done there? Also index funds?
Yes, index funds on a European stock exchange, and just buying the MSCI World Index. I think it's through the Vanguard.
I think, yeah, because you know, I'm big on detail. I know what I'm doing. I'm embarrassed to ask, but I must, because everybody wants to know this question. What is Julia worth now? It's this woman who was earning 300,000 rand a year in 2007. Good job, good management consulting job. Who saved, and put lots of money into the JSE, got the timing of it right in terms of saying, I'm not going to cash this in, and maybe you wish you did, but I'm going to just not add any more money. I'm going to let this grow in South Africa, but my focus is going offshore, and I'm going to keep on with my strategy of investing as much as I possibly can internationally. Mm-hmm. Can you share? We don't know.
I'd just be uncomfortable doing it off on air, Bruce. I can share it with you.
No, that's fine. I mean, air, it's embarrassing. I mean, that's how well you've done. Have you done better in the last 3 years than the money has done on the JSE? I think it has.
Oh yeah.
And you paid off your house, and you've had a life.
Yes.
And children.
Yeah.
And paid off the car, and the house.
I feel Julia, very fortunate, actually.
Yeah, fortunate,
when you put
but
it
I mean,
like that.
No, strategic. I mean, again, let's call it what it is, and that is having a plan and sticking to the plan, and not being a twit. So many of us don't have the discipline that you've got, and we do stupid things with money. And I'm afraid that we don't end up in a position where you are. Most of we don't have the freedom that you've got. You've bought yourself freedom, and you're not yet. My sums suggest not yet 40. So, you're getting yourself this elusive dream of financial independence, and that was always the goal.
Exactly. That was always the goal. And it's actually been interesting to do the show annually for 8 years, because I listened to one of the first shows just to prepare. And I said that was my goal, to achieve financial independence before 40. And yeah, it's actually quite nice to have this record, this annual record, and actually to achieve the goal. It's a really good feeling.
We should send you a bill. We should send you a bill for becoming your stenographers of your financial journey. Julia, listen, thank you so much. Go and read your children a bedtime story. I'm sure they're waiting. And thank you so much for joining us again. It's lovely to have you on. And thank you for sharing the lessons again and again and again.